The title of today's message is Live by God's Promise, and the scripture in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses 8, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river to Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And the key verse is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. We'll read it first, and then we'll all read together. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's all read together this key verse. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now I would like to invite our pastor to come and share the message. Greetings to the congregation. And we welcome our guests today to come and worship with us. We also welcome those who are worshiping online through live stream. The title of today's message is Live in God's Promise. In this world, they live by bread and rice. Jesus says, not just by bread, but by all the words of the mouth of the God. And this morning, we are Christians. Live by the promise is something very unusual. And I hope that through this word, we will see and experience how one a Christian to live in God's promise. And the key verse in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a promise, a wonderful promise for Joshua, and also a promise for each Christian who put faith in Jesus. If a young boy, 10 years old, decided to study judo, and he lost his left arm to an automobile accident, and he studied judo under a Japanese master, he believed that if he is studious in studying this, he made a lot of progress. And he was, after 3 months, why did the master only teach him one way to fight? And finally, cannot be more patient, he asked, is it not that I could not learn other kind of judos? This is the only one that I teach you, and this is the only one that you would need to learn. So he didn't understand it, but he believed that he continued to study this one way to do judo. And a few later, he went into a competition. He thought that could win easily when he competed. And the third is even more difficult, but then afterward, the enemy could not overcome this little boy. He was so surprised how he could win with just one way to fight. And so, at the final, and his opponent was very large built, and afterward, this young boy began to be losing in this competition. And then because the referee did not want to hurt this boy, they want to stop the fight. But the master said, no, we need to continue to complete this competition. And afterward, the opponent has made a mistake. And he despised this young boy. And immediately, this young boy took advantage of the situation and fight back and locked him up in a way that he could not move. And his opponent, finally, the boy won the competition. On the way home, and they were reviewing what has happened. And now, a boy asked the master one more time, why did I become the champion of this competition? And the master said, your victory, there are two reasons. The first is that you have mastered the way of judo that I have taught you. And the second reason is that the only way that the opponent lost is because he could not lock up your left hand, which you did not have. The master can overcome the weakness when the master taught a way to fight that take advantage of the strength. And because of this trick, the boy can win. You have been chosen by the Lord for a purpose. He could see all of us is very weak in us. We could not compare to any other, but God has a promise for you and me. That promise is, be courageous. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you receive this promise? Do you believe in that? If we do, we become strong. We will never be discouraged. We will not be afraid. Because the Lord will be wherever we are. Let this morning based on the word of God on Joshua from verse 5. 1 to 5. Let's think about a few things that God demand Joshua and also demand on the people who put faith in him. There are three things that God will demand. God demands us in readiness in us, demanding us a committed action. He demands us to a complete faith in him. Let's pray for guidance. We are our loving Father. We're thankful because we are weak, but you have used us to become those who have responsibility. We know that we are small and weak, but your work is so great. May you give us wisdom so that we can know how to live according to your word, your promise, that we can fulfill our responsibilities. We are thankful because your promise on each one of us, because you will be with us forever, wherever we go. So we will never need to be afraid. We will never be discouraged. We continue to be strong and courageous because we know you are with us. May you teach us your word so that we can hear your word in our heart. May the Holy Spirit please speak and we hear. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And something has happened to Israelite that as Moses has passed away. In the 40 years in the desert, God has been using Moses like a leader to lead the Israelites in the wilderness. They have traversed so many problems, many challenges during this journey, but finally, now they are standing on the verge of yet taking over the promised land that God has promised to Abraham. And now Moses has been dead. And Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. The congregation, before a pressure, the leadership, and 40 years under Moses, and Joshua has been called to become the next leader. If you put yourself in the Joshua's shoe, what happened? What would you feel? And from nothing, there's a lot of us to do some cooking. And a lot of men are cleaning outside, and some of us have a lot to do to decorate, to fix up this facility, for example. One day, we are called, but some of us will be called to do those things. And so, the attitude with Joshua, I want you to be ready to cross into the Jordan, into the promised land. God knows how to use people. God chose Joshua to replace Moses, who is a leader. Joshua was born in slavery. He was born in Egyptian when his people were slaves in Egypt. Now they became a slavery under the Egyptian rule. He was born in that land, in that Egypt, under slavery. But the father of Joshua knew, has put his name, called his name Joshua, that means God, Savior. God the Savior, that means the name of Joshua. They put faith in the God, so they do call his name Joshua, which means God saves. So he's the first child, and then he was living in Egypt. He experienced that relate to his life and death, that is, God has told Israel there will be angel to come wherever the lamb of the blood of lamb put on the doorpost, then the angel will pass over, and every house that does not have the blood of the lamb painted on the doorpost, the firstborn will be killed. And this is the result of all the firstborn, the Egyptians who came. The firstborn, Joshua experienced that he was saved with the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. When he understood what God, which of a house has the blood of lamb painted on the doorpost, the son, first son of Israel. So the Egyptian did not do this. They did not aware of the fact that the angel will pass by over the house without the blood of lamb painted on the doorpost. All of the firstborn will be dead, would be dead. So the lamb of the God, they have been protected by the lamb on the doorpost, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. So he experienced himself, God has saved him. Moses served the Lord. Now Joshua followed Moses all along this journey in the wilderness. And Josh has done many great things to Moses. Josh also one of those 12 spies who has been sent to the promised land to survey Canaan to see what's going on. There are two spies, as Caleb and Joshua. They reported that Canaan is a land very prosperous, full of fruit. And there is an Amalekite. So they are very strong, and they very and element the Amalekite just despise Israel because they are so weak. But Caleb and Joshua put faith in God. So they reported that God has promised this land. May the enemy may be very strong, but God promises this promised land. If the congregation has Joshua has a connection with God, with a relationship. Joshua also is a very strong military person, and he defeated the Amalekite that was recorded in the scripture. So he was the right hand of Moses. Joshua was next to Moses. Joshua has the privilege to learn of what Moses learned. When God appeared to Moses to talk with Moses, Joshua was the one next to Moses. Maybe this is one of the greatest things that Joshua could experience. And that caused Moses has a trust in God. After had Joshua has mocked Moses. Moses could leading the Israelites to fight his enemy. So Joshua was hoping to become useful to the Lord. Moses has dead. And God said, be ready to trust the Lord as you serve. You and your people must be ready. God demands us, the one servant to God, to receive his promise. Be ready. God has kept his promise to Joshua. God bless the people. God went out of Egypt into the freedom in the land of promised land. God promised this to the Israelites. This is the land that God has promised in Abraham in 430 years before. This is Moses has led his people for 40 years in the wilderness toward this land. This is the time he spied on it and reported back. The journey in the desert, they overcame the Red Sea. They defeated the Amalekites. They destroyed the Amalekites there. When Moses was standing on the mountain praying, and Joshua was fighting along with Israel and destroyed the enemies. He won Sihon, the king of Bashan, and then defeated king of the Amorites, Sihon. And for 40 years, all of that challenge they have accomplished. But all will be useless if they don't have the hope to come into the promised land. God said, you and your people will have to be ready to cross the Jordan River. Are we ready for God? Maybe there are certain psychological factors that cause Joshua to be hesitation. Before them right now is the Jordan River, full of high water. And so this is during the harvest season, and the water level is very high. How could 2 million people cross the river when the water is so high? This is the same situation just like facing before the Red Sea. And Joshua knew about this land. He spied. And here, Jericho is a stronghold of the people there. How could the Lord help them to defeat the enemy here? And so there, the walls of Jericho is very, very strong. It's very difficult to defeat. And there is a kind of people that they said, this people, how could they face this strong enemy in the Jericho? Everybody with Joshua has died. They were no longer, there are only Joshua and Caleb remaining from the generation. The rest has died off because of old age. Now God has put forward, are you ready to come into the promised land that I promise you? The miracles God has performed, God can resolve all conflict. The high water in Jordan, God could separate the water. Jericho can be defeated by the Lord. The problem is, Joshua and Israelite, are they gonna believe in God? According to God's way, are we ready to trust the promise of God? Readiness is the condition that we can experience the miracles performed by God in our life. Readiness is something we can please our God with, that readiness. There's a story. There's a king in this village. God gathered all the young person there, and whoever could swim across the river, he will award it with a lot of gold and give the daughter in marriage to the person who can have the courage to swim across this river full of riches. Nobody is afraid. Everybody was afraid. Nobody would run. And suddenly somebody was in the water. And there's one person falling in there and fight very hard. And then everybody was looking at him. But he swim and swim and swim across the river. And finally, he was able to cross. And he gave in marriage his daughter to him. And the king asked him, I want to know, what is the motivation for you to swim across the river among the dangerous water? And then I gave him, is it my money that is award, or is it my daughter? And the younger said, oh, I don't know. I don't know who pushed me down into this river. There is certain things that we act in just because of the fortunate things. Your servants of mine is only by happenstance, or do we have a true motivation behind our service? Each one of us is demanded an attitude of readiness. God did not want to serve in happenstance, by chance, without purpose. God would not be pleased. Joshua is somebody who understood true when he was following Moses. He saw God has performed miracles. And so when God called Joshua, you and your people be ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. May you, God help us. God give us an attitude of readiness as we are called in any position, in any kind of service. We be ready to serve Him. The second point, let's think together. God demands a committed action. To live in promise, God demands to be ready, but also demands a committed action. God said in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. It is easy to hear the promises. Wherever your foot set place, there I give you. Is this something simple to do? The place that God will give, but God demands Himself, all of them, that everywhere you place your foot, I will give you. It's an action to express faith in God, in the promise God has given to Joshua. The river of Jordan would not be parted if the feet of the Levites, of the priests, would not touch down in the river. 3 more years we will cross. Will there be any sign that the water will decrease so that they can find some way to cross the Jordan River? But God said, 3 more days you will cross the Jordan River. And God gave him, the priests will carry the Ark of the Covenant, and then followed by the people behind. Wherever the feet put down on the river, then the river will part it to the Jordan. God demands something very difficult here. It's not hard to do, but it's hard to believe. But this is God demanding. There must have a committed action to show our faith. And the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever they touch the edge of the river, the water parted, and they walked through dry land over the Jordan. And 2 million people, God parted the river in the Jordan to cross over. Just like He parted the Red Sea. When the priest, the feet, moving forward, is a committed action. Jericho could fall, but God said, you will walk around Jericho for 3 days. Each day, 1 round. And then afterward, you can go home and sleep. It's a very strange command by the Lord. You will walk around Jericho 7. And the 7th round, after the 7th round, you sounded your trumpet. Everybody yelled. And then attack the city of Jericho. And then destroy the enemy there. This is a very strange plan. The people could not understand the God's plan, but they obeyed. God demanded each one must go into Jericho and defeat the enemy there. Jericho has fallen, and as the Israelites surround the Jericho, and they attack the enemy after seven rounds. Their foot was set by faith. They came into Canaan. They have to fight with the enemies. In the battle, there are the Amorites. Joshua was ready to fight and pray, "Dear Lord, let the sun be still." And then, because he was so earnest in prayer, the sun stood still. This was a miracle that was never happened before. The sun must stand still for 1 day so that the people could fight under the sunlight. God could do some wonderful miracle, right? Because when we put faith in God by a committed action, what kind of action do we use to express our faith in God? Each fighter of the Lord must be strong. Caleb is a colleague of Joshua. They walked together in 40 years in the wilderness, and Caleb has become old. But now they came at Horeb, and Caleb talked to Joseph. "May the Lord give me this land." Why did Caleb ask for the land? was in the hurry. In Joshua chapter 4, Joshua chapter 14. And Caleb told Joshua, let me help this land. That means the valley of Horeb. And with nine prophets. Wherever your foot set there, that will be your land. Joshua told Caleb. Because you have served the Lord with all your heart. And the Joshua told Caleb in verse 10, what the Lord has told you. And Caleb said, the Lord has carried me 40 years in the wilderness as during the wilderness that has protected my life. And today I have been 85 now. I am still strong, Caleb said to Joshua. 85 years old, believe that God can defeat the enemy. And the enemy there is not just a simple enemy. There they were very large army to be challenged to defeat them. But Caleb said, let me have this Horeb valley as my inheritance. 85 years old, continue to say, I will have the strength to defeat my enemy in this place. We see that the enemy, the more challenging the enemy, the higher the honor, the victory. We need to have a committed action to defeat our enemy, because our great is God. There are certain aspects of our life that could not be a challenge yet. Maybe our friends could be a challenge to deter us from serving God. Maybe our job could be a deterrence to serving the Lord, that we could not live according to faith given. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we could not use our effort to win our enemy, but God must demand us to have a committed action. When we discover the way of faith, God can help us to experience the victory through the effort God gives us. The third point that we're going to get at, God demands complete faith in Him. When we live by promise and a readiness, and that person has a committed action, but that person will also have a complete faith in God. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, God told Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will you never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise of God. The reason Joshua to be victorious, not because of him, because God was with him. This is something God promised you and me as well. I will be with you forever until the end. And so God's promise is for our whole life. God's promise has promised Moses. Moses kept his righteousness with God until his death. And then the whole people of Israel traveled through the journey into the promised land. Who will be with me? Moses said. God said, I will be with you. And God was working alongside Moses as the leader of Israelites. Now, God promised the same to Joshua, like Joshua, I will be with you. I will never forsake you. God promised Joshua. God is demanding his soldier to have a complete faith in him. the water could overflow to Jordan River. Jericho could be very strong, but nothing can prevent God's miracle. The only problem is in our faith. Israel was successful before a stronghold of Jericho, but they were defeated under a very small city in Joshua chapter 7. And so it was recorded back in Joshua chapter 7 that the Israelite was defeated by a very small city named Ai. And they defeated Israelites. And 36, and Joshua knew he was being defeated. He kneeled down and prayed. 3,000 is not enough to fight? No. The problem is that they have, Israelites have 3,000 soldiers to fight. God said, when they, everything in that city Jericho must be destroyed, because they were dedicated to the idols. No one can touch anything. But there is one person. His name is Anna. And because of his greedy, he took a robe of the people of Jericho, a little of gold and silver, and hide away. And there's only one with greediness, the whole army. And the whole Israel was defeated for under a small city, a small army. May the Lord give us the wisdom, the knowing the covenant, not just with everyone. And finally, Joshua has told the Israelites, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He lived until 125. During that time, everyone worshiped the Lord and not the idols. And with the elders, with the Israel, they serve the Lord. God give us living principle, but God demand us, we have to have complete faith in God. We can see God has done many miracles, just like the miracles that God has done on Israel. With our faith, we can experience those miracles in our life as well. Miracle cannot happen if there is no faith. In the end of 1949, in China, there is a seminary in China. There are many who dedicate their life to study the Word of God in the seminary. And during the, under the government of Jiang Zhongcheng, a Chinese nationalist, a politician and revolutionary and military leader, they would try to persecute the people. But there's a couple who tried to get married. And during this seminary, the military invaded the seminary. And he took all the students of the seminary, even the one who about to marry a young girl there. They captured all of them. And they told everyone, if you deny your Jesus, you can get married. Every year, they took this young man and asked the same question. With the same, if you deny your Jesus, then you immediately can marry your loved ones. But there's only one answer. This person answered no. And 30 years like that. Now, until 1949, when the policy has changed, the leadership has changed. Now, he became very old now. And he suffered for 30 years because of the under that. And in 1979, there was one, after they had been liberated, there was a celebration of the marriage between this person and the other. The person, why did you deny God so that you can get married, but you can escape for 30 years of persecution like this? And he said, Jesus has sacrificed everything because of me. How could I deny him? Dear congregation, Jesus has died for whom? The whole world. For all human race. But this person said, Jesus died for himself. This is the same Christ who died for us. God died for humanity, but we did not see that God died for me. We could not see the way we live has nailed Jesus on the cross. This person has felt, understand, experienced the love that Christ had died for him. He died for us, yours, you, and me. This is the true experience that each Christian must have. This is the apostle has experienced. This is what Paul the apostle had experienced, that Christ had died for us. When we understand that has the relationship with Jesus Christ, that then our hearts will have faith to be complete, will be pleasing to him. Christ has died for me so that our sin can be forgiven. Many Christians have denied Jesus just for a little bit of benefits. To deny Christ because some kind of benefit in the family, in this society, in this world. You know, many people depend on the promise of this world instead of the promise of God. God promised, I will be your God. I will be with you until the end. God is faithful with his promise, but you and I, are we hanging on our promise? God will walk with us. Will we let God lead us in life? Or there are so many attractions of this world that we forget about God's promise. Kirshi, live because of God's promise. Be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. Be courageous. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We're thankful. Wherever we are, whatever our condition, God is with us. And this will be. Rocky has participated in the name. And he has been tested. And he opened his mouth. So, Rocky passed a very difficult test to become a Navy soldier. God will be with Rocky wherever Rocky goes. So, God will be with us wherever we go. That's the God's promise. And so some of us, we are traveling. God will be with us wherever we go. And this is God's faithful promise to us. We are we are facing difficulties in this world. Many people are in the hospital. But wherever we are, God will be there with us. That's God's promise for us. Let's all stand. We will pray. And this morning, we will have opportunity to attend communion. We examine ourselves so that we are worthy to receive the cup and bread representing the body and blood of Christ. God has died for us. He was despised for us to be honored. He humbled himself so we can be lifted up. Dear our Heavenly Father, we are thankful because you are so wonderful. You have promised of Israelite people. You can promise just with one person. And what you have promised, you are faithful and righteous to carry out your promise on us. Maybe there are so many years that pass. You are faithful to keep your promise. You have promised. Be courageous. Do not be discouraged. Because the Lord will be with us wherever we go. During this world, we can face many challenges, many difficulties, because our faith can be shaken. That have faith our body. There are, in our families, there are many difficulties, but God continue promise with us. God will be with us wherever we go. May all of us to be clinging to your promise, from the eldest until the child. Never rely on ourselves, not rely on our own effort and wisdom or our knowledge in this world. May we know how to live in your promise that you are with us. This is the reason we can overcome these challenges, the difficulties, to overcome the traps set up by Satan. So we can overcome all the storm of this life through your promise. So we cling very strongly to your promise to live a Christian life worthy of your love. This morning we will receive the bread and the cup to represent your body and blood have poured out on the cross for us. May we be worthy to receive this cup and bread. And for the rest of our life, we'll be worthy of your love. We are thankful, Lord. We lift up and each one of our heart into your hand. We're thankful for your lesson today. We are thankful and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have just received the blood and the cup and bread. So we know what to do with the cup. In the night that he was denied, he took the bread, gave thanks, and said, "This is my body broken for you." This represents the body of Christ. People can use the color, the cloth, to represent, do the flag to represent the country who destroyed the symbol. Flag means that person trample on that country. Whoever despised the representation of bodies of Christ deny Christ himself. May we examine our heart so that we do not despise Jesus' blood has been shedding for us. Do that in remembrance of me. Let's all partake. Underneath is the cup representing the blood of Christ, who have been shedding on the cross for us. after the supper, he took the cup and gave to his apostle, "This is my new covenant for you. This covenant God has established with human because of Jesus' blood. All sins will be forgiven when we put faith in Christ. Nobody is forgiven because we have some fame in this world or how much money we have. We are only forgiven by the shedding blood of Christ on the cross. May we be thankful what God has done for us on the cross. May we correct our sin, our shortcomings. The blood of Christ can forgive our sins. May the Lord help us to be worthy for Christ's blood. In this faith, let's all partake in this cup. Hallelujah. Praise our God, because the way you have saved us, but only in Christ can we be saved. We are thankful because you have saved us. But today, we are living in your promise that you promised us. And Paul said, "Today I live, not that I live, but Christ lives in me, in the faith in Christ, who have saved us and give himself for me, and with promise." We are living in this faith, put in the faith in Christ, who has given himself for me. May we be worthy of your love, Lord, for the rest of our life, by your promise. We are thankful you are with me during everywhere that I go. We are thankful. May you help the rest of our life that will be aligned with Christ. May the glory be yours. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.